are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. We're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us. Sister Jackie Marquis and Sister Brenda Johnson open the musical part of our broadcast service singing for us about when Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind.
There's no one great among us. We're nothing on our own. We make mistakes and often slip. We're common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm off a special kind. When he on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he
of God's mercy.
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God, for the love that brought Jesus into this world to be our Lord and to be our Savior. Although it took His death on the cross, we are thankful for such a supreme sacrifice and for what it means to us today. We pray, our Heavenly Father, as this service is going forth over the air today, the precious Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and every one. For we know that Jesus died for all, and that whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. So take us, take this broadcast, and make it a blessing to each and to every one of our precious listeners. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, let me say that it is an encouragement to us whenever you take time to let us hear from you and to know that our broadcast is a blessing to you. And at the close of our broadcast today, we will be giving you our postal address. And we would be thankful if you would write and let us know our broadcast is a blessing to you. Now we continue the musical part of our broadcast service with Brother Dennis Schinberger and Sister Beth Myers singing for us about How Had It Not Been.
Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. But I'm so glad He was willing to drink His bitter cup. Although He prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." Oh, I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands pull these nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
The title of our thoughts for today, Beliefs That Matter. And I will read first from St. John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through Him. And then, in connection with this passage, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away from them. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, what we believe in this time world settles our destiny in eternity. Yes, what we believe in this time world settles our destiny in eternity. I'd like for you to think, first of all, with me on the common idea that so widely accepted today of evolution. The evolution theory in reality denies God. Oh, I know there are those who say that they believe in God and also they believe in evolution, but I say the evolution theory in reality denies God. It denies his creation and his ownership of the earth. It denies our responsibility to him and to his laws. If there be no God, then man can make his own laws and change them when and as he pleases. Yes, I say if there is no God and he has no authority over us, then man can make his own laws and change them, and when we can change them as we please, make them as we please, so that we can do whatever we please. But, beloved, whenever we come before the Lord in judgment, we are going to find out there is a God. So again, I say what we believe in this time world settles our destiny in eternity. Who is to say what is right and what is wrong if there be no God? If young people, or older people as well, want to start living together without getting married, who is to say that it's wrong? Who has the authority to say that it is wrong? If the court says that abortions are all right, that it's all right for a woman to take her child's life, or the doctor to take her child's life, woman has a right to do with her body as she pleases, then who is to say that they're otherwise? Who is to say, no, that's wrong? If man evolved from lower animals, where did he get his soul? Oh, yes, I know there are multitudes of people who do not believe that we have a soul. But I read in the Bible that there is a spirit in man. And I read in the Bible where God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. But of course, if there is no God, and we evolve from the lower species, then we're going to disregard what the Word of God has to say. So if man evolved from lower animals, where did he get his soul? And where did he actually get his life? Where did he get moral nature? Where did he get any sense of right and wrong? And we are born with a moral nature. We are born with some sense of understanding of right and wrong. A lot of times people overrule that and they have a seared conscience and they can do things without being bothered because they do have a seared conscience. But everyone that comes into this world has some moral character about them or a moral sense of right and wrong about them. And where did they get it? If we evolved from some lower species, where did they get this moral nature? And what is moral? And what is immoral? Who is to say, if there be no God, if there be no authority, and man is the supreme being, as it were, then who is to say? You know what the psalmist said? Because of the wickedness that is so abundant, it is because there is no fear of God before his eyes. So we read in Psalm 36:1, if people actually fear God, they're going to do things different than they would if they did not believe there was a God. And because there are those multitudes who do not have the fear of God before their eyes, that's why we have the sin, the wickedness, and the evil that we have in the world today. It's startling to me at times when I read about what some people do. You read in the newspaper about a man killing his wife and then dismembering her body, and all kinds of sin, all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of evil. Why? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Again, there's multitudes of people who do not believe there is a God. And if they do believe there's a God, they believe he's a God in the trees, he's a God in the flowers, or something else like that. They don't believe that he is an actual person. The idea one holds concerning God is of the utmost importance, for it determines his entire religious life. Yes, your conception of God, or whether there is a God, determines your entire religious life. It determines how you're going to live. Without God, humanism is supreme. Yes, without God, humanism is supreme. And we weak-minded people who believe that there is a God, you know, we created him so we'd have a crutch to lean on. That's what some people would have us to believe, that we're so weak-minded that we had to create God to have a crutch to lean on. But I am foolish enough to believe that God created us and that we did not create God. A true religion is not possible without a worthy concept of God. I say true religion is not possible without a worthy conception of God. Notice what the Apostle Paul said, as recorded in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. And let us notice this passage of Scripture carefully, for the Apostle Paul tells us some things here that we need to know. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now before I read on, let me repeat verses 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now reading on verse 21, because that which they knew God, but when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So a true religion is not possible without a worthy conception of God. God's creation proves his eternal power and Godhead, and you deny God, and you worship idols. Verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. When they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and the end results was that they began to worship idols, even birds and four-footed beasts and fowl, the sun and the moon, the stars and so forth. So a true religion is not possible without a worthy conception of God. Some think the idea of one God came from ancient Egypt, but that is not true. No, there was a ruler there. There was a Pharaoh for a while that tried to teach his people that there was one God, and after he was gone, they reverted back to their multiplicity of gods. But that was not the origination of the idea of one God. So this idea that the thought or the conception of one God originating in Egypt is simply not true. God revealed himself to Adam, and Adam knew that there was one true and living God. And this one true and living God came down in the cool of the evening and fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. And God revealed himself to them. And Adam and Eve knew there was one true God. So the thought or the conception of one true God started with the family of man. As far as the family of man is concerned, it started with Adam and Eve. Of course, there's always been one true God, always has been, always will be. But I say as far as the family of man is concerned, the idea of one God started with our foreparents, Adam and Eve, for God revealed himself to them. In Genesis 17 and 1, we read where the Lord appeared to Abraham, or Abram as he was known then. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk thou before me, and be thou perfect. So I say again, what we believe in this time world settles our destiny in eternity. And we are told in the Scriptures that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We're also told in the Scriptures of Solomon the wise man, presumably the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We read in the book of Acts on Mars Hill there where Paul was speaking, as recorded in Acts 17, the times of this ignorance God winked at. He saw their various altars, even one to the unknown God. And he said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And Jesus Christ told us in the book of Luke, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The words of the wise man are as goats and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, the Apostle Paul one time, he met up, of course, more than one time, but the Apostle Paul met up with the unbelievers and scoffers of the gospel, and he said, suppose some do not believe, does that make void the word of God? Absolutely not. Suppose the entire world, the entire population of the world, denied that there was a God, would that do away with God? No, just because someone denies the truth doesn't do away with the truth, and just because someone says there is no God doesn't do away with God, and someone who says and believes in evolution, that this came through a big bang or whatever they want to believe, does that prove it to be true? No, and it does not prove that God did not create the heavens and the earth, just like the Bible says he did. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and we are responsible to him, and we are to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, And if we choose to lead our own life, choose our own way, and go as we please, disregarding God, remember this, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Jesus Christ will come, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the good from the bad, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He's going to say to those on the right-hand side, come, ye blessed of my Father. And he's going to say to those on the left-hand side, depart. And every one of us will be there, and we'll either be on the right-hand side, or we'll be on the left-hand side. Remember this, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with our precious congregation today. We trust the Holy Spirit will make them a blessing to everyone. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share this Another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it's proven to be a blessing. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, I trust that you'll feel free to send it in. Our postal address again, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. That fax number again, 301-739-7173. We also invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts, and you can also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
You may have your worldly pleasures, your silver and your gold. You may pile up all the riches that this whole world can hold. But I'd rather have my Savior and with him firmly stand. For I want to be ready to meet him.
One thing I can borrow.